Good morning, everybody. There is LAFC soccer tonight. We are inside of 2 weeks for Major League Baseball. The players are inside the Orlando bubble getting ready for the reboot of the NBA season. That is all great news, but unfortunately, guys, bad news last night. Rajon Rondo needs to have surgery. He busted his right thumb at practice. He is going to miss somewhere between 6 to 8 weeks before he can return to full basketball activities. And I mean, I know that injuries are part of professional sports, that you got to have the next guy ready to go at all times. But this is a really bad guy not to have going in. He's not LeBron. He's not AD. Maybe he's not Dwight. But I think we're at the Rajon Rondo point once we get past Dwight Howard, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was... I was doing some investigating.
Concentrate, homie.
Yeah.
On the bubble, that's all. But, yeah, it's one of those deals where he's so important to this team in a different way. Obviously not AD, not LeBron, not even Dwight Howard to a degree. But when you look at playoff Rondo, that's very important to this team. In the regular season, he was able to do some things when those guys were not on the floor teaming up with Kuz. But when that second unit is on the floor – and you need him down the line come playoff time, he will sorely be missed. Here's a guy who's in the top, I want to say he's in the top five all time in the history of the NBA in playoff assists. That's important. He knows what to do. The last time I put my eyes on him in the playoffs is when the Pelicans played the Portland Trail Blazers, and he was out there cooking with AD, giving them work. So that's a huge loss. This is why you have veteran players on your team to be able to step up in the moments, the biggest moments, and this is certainly a big moment for the Lakers because they will be in the playoffs. Hopefully, they continue to move without him, so when he comes back in that late second round, third round type matchup, that he's able to join them.
Well, we are going to miss Rajon Rondo, and you're right, Key, in terms of where he is on the all-time assist list, but LeBron James is on that list too. And he switched positions officially to become like the point guard. He's leading the league in assists. It's not like Rajon Rondo has been a beacon of health since being with the Lakers or even with any of the teams, really. Injuries has been part of his narrative as much as playoff Rondo has. And so our team is experienced. Believe it or not, I just checked. After Boston, the Lakers is his longest stay.
That's hard to believe.
So when you think about that part of it, you know, the team is forced to get used to playing without Rondo and still found a way to be successful. And so I think that the team will be used to playing without Rondo in this situation. It's just Rondo made things easier. And now things are going to be just a little bit more difficult. Like with Avery Bradley, he made things easier. Things now going to be a little bit more difficult, but not impossible. And I still feel like we're the favorites.
I think that, yes, I think they're still the favorites. But as opposed to going into this thinking, you know what, I really like their chances. I think that they're the favorites. And as long as everybody plays about where you need them to play, I think they go through this and I think they cash it in. Now, if somebody else plays really well, you're in trouble. If you have a bad night, you're in trouble. Because let's assume right now for a second that the standings that we have right now hold going into the playoffs. They'll probably shuffle around a little bit. But right now, the Lakers in the second round of the playoffs would draw Utah. Okay, if the standings hold and the higher seed wins these playoff matchups, you're talking about Utah in the four seed. Maybe Oklahoma City upsets them. So you get Utah or OKC there in that second round game. Without Rajon Rondo, that is not an absolute, yeah, they're going to win that and keep it moving. They probably will. LeBron is certainly good enough to make sure that you get over that hump. Anthony Davis is your second option, is a phenomenal second option. But all of a sudden in that second round now, without your second point guard, without the guy that takes – there's already so much weight on LeBron's shoulders that he has to score, he has to distribute, he has to lead, he has to play a ton of minutes, that the little bit of breaks that you could take away from him, the little times that you could take something off of his plate – more often than not, it would go to Rondo, at least when it came to running that offense. Now that that's gone, he has to do it every single night. The 8 games that they're going to play before the playoffs start, not that big of a deal. But once you get into that first round, and maybe you can kind of, you know, like you were talking about earlier, LZ, that LeBron can work that throttle a little bit during games and when to push real hard and when maybe he can back off a little bit and conserve some energy. Now in that second round of the playoffs, I don't know if that thing can be anything other than push to the floor, that he's got to go hard every single moment of every single game starting in that second round.
The problem that whoever he faces in the second round has, for him, it's like riding a bicycle. He knows what to do, okay? He hasn't forgot how to do it. And I know there's, you know, oh, well, he's got to play more. He's got to push it. That's been since he's gotten in the league. There's nothing new. We're not asking him to all of a sudden do something that he's not accustomed to doing. You know, he's been doing this his entire career, so it's nothing new. He's not taking on any more of a burden that he has before. So I'm not worried about that at all. You got 23 and you got AD. You as good as gold, trust me. You as good as gold, because everybody else that are around them lifts up their play knowing the severity of what they're going to be facing. Those two guys do their part. Everybody else comes along.
And we're best equipped because we're so deep in so many different positions too. I mean, we got some good size up front with some depth. You know, we're pretty good in the backcourt. And then we have two superstars. And when you look at a team that we may face like a Utah Jazz, they also are trying to deal with injuries. They don't have their second leading scorer. He had wrist surgery back in May. He's not coming back. That's Bogdanovich. He's out. So they need to make adjustments, too, to injuries they have. And every team going forward will have to keep their antenna both up for the injuries that can happen when you try to restart, and then also, obviously, the threat of the coronavirus.
No, I understand that. And I'm not saying that LeBron is incapable of carrying the extra water. He certainly is. But you can only put your fingers in so many holes in the boat, right? If the boat has a leak and I got this one over here. Okay, I got this one over here too. And we've already got an Avery Bradley leak. Now we have a Rajon Rondo leak. And if anything else starts to happen, you've already been stretched pretty thin. You've already asked him to do a little more. I get it. He's Superman. And I'm not worried about him having to do more. That's only a part of it. Him doing more means that everyone else needs to do a little bit more. Everyone else needs to slide into those roles. And look, the reason that there's a thing called playoff Rondo is because in these moments, he's really, really good. He's a guy that knows how to play in these games. Keep in mind, I know Anthony Davis is playoff experienced to a point. I know that LeBron is the most experienced playoff player ever. Beyond that, when we're talking about Caruso and we're talking about Kuzma and some of these other guys that have not been through this before, this is a new experience for them. Dwight's been through it. Danny Green's been through it. I know they have some vets along the way, but if we're asking guys like Kuzma and Caruso and some of these other guys that had KCP that do not have a ton of playoff experience, that's even more on LeBron's plate.
It's really only about three guys that when you go and down the roster, you look that have not had major playoff experience. I mean, Quinn Cook.
Yeah, but their guys are going to play a lot, Key.
No, I understand, but you got to remember, guys like Quinn Cook, who's going to play more now, it's playoff experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that guy, Dwight Howard, you mentioned, JaVale McGee, all those guys got playoff experience, which goes a long ways because J.R. Smith is now back with him. He'll get in shape. He'll get some minutes on the clock. He's got playoff experience. And when you have playoff experience, you know how to talk, walk, eat, sleep, breathe, playoffs. And other guys that don't have that experience, you inject what you know into them, and they will certainly follow. So that's the thing about veteran leadership, is when you have guys that have done it before, you teach the other guys, the young guys that have not done it, how to go about doing it. And I like the Lakers' chances.
I like the Lakers' chances, too, because when you look at some of these guys individually who may not have had the playoff experience, you already know they're not scared. And that goes a long way. There's certain dudes you look at and like go on, you might get a little nervous in this situation. But there's nothing to me that says Caruso is going to step on the floor in the playoffs and in important games and be scared. And I know Kuz has had his struggle, but the first thing that we noticed about him right away was that he was confident and he wasn't scared.
Mm-hmm.
He may miss the shot, but he's not going to be scared of those moments. And that's what you want. That is the most important part. That's the hardest part, actually. It's making sure that when that pressure comes, guys don't crack mentally. You know, if you miss a shot, you miss a shot. If you don't execute, you don't execute. But you're not scared. And I don't see a lot of fear on this roster.
I agree with that. I agree with the fact that Alex Caruso has never looked scared on the court to me. I agree. Kyle Kuzma is almost the opposite. Like, he just showed up from the moment he came into the league. He felt and acted like he'd been around forever. Like, what is this? It's just basketball. I got this. It's not a big deal. I agree with you guys. But we've also known that when the playoffs start, it's different, man. The first time you go out there, it's different. Now, hopefully he can get some of those, you know, butterflies or whatever it is, adrenaline. And those aren't negative things. Those are just the reality of doing something for the first time. And hopefully they can work their way through those things, because if they did struggle in their first playoff experience, I wouldn't be surprised. It's really normal. It's the way that it usually goes. And if those can be, and again, these are not guys that are not going to be on the court. Kyle Kuzma's going to be on the court. Alex Caruso is going to be on the court. I know Dwight Howard and all the guys you mentioned, Key, those guys have been through this a million times. And LeBron is the ultimate playoff experience. But until you have to go out there and perform in that moment, and the guy that you're replacing potentially has a nickname that's Playoff Rondo, the guy that would show up every single time in the playoffs, it's a big ask, and it's an unknown on the other side.
Well, as long as you don't have an up and down, like Alex Caruso has not had an up and down career since he's been with the Lakers on the front line, meaning like one night he shows up, three nights he doesn't, two nights he does, four nights he doesn't. He's been smooth and getting better every single time. So clearly, to me, he won't be affected by having to play a certain role now in certain minutes. It's almost like one of those guys, first one in, last one out. He was built for this. All of those sort of things, that fits him perfectly. If anything that I'm more concerned with is for to see if Kuz is able to step his game up and not have everyone use the excuse of he needs to touch the ball, he's not getting his shots. No, when you get
he's going to be amped like crazy. But I mean, he's just that guy anyway.
When you get the opportunities, make them count. Make the most of them. Don't go with the notion that I've got to now play a different way because Rondo's not here to help me get through things. I'm playing with LeBron and AD, and I'm not really able to participate the way that I need to. Well, you participate the way you need to. When you get the ball in your hand, you make it count. If it ain't nothing but six or seven opportunities, you make those six or seven opportunities count.
Well, I don't find it as excuse-making as much as understand the rationale. Because there is a reason why he was a valued piece during the trade conversations. There's a reason why they wanted to keep him multiple times. Because they know when he's right, they're really hard to beat. So it's important that, yes, Key, you're right. When you get the opportunities, you need to make the most of them. But it's also incumbent upon the coaching staff, Caruso and LeBron, to make sure you're trying to get him right. Because when he's right, the Lakers are pretty tough to beat, man. It's just there's no relaxation. There's no moment of breather when he's really cooking.
Well, you mentioned the coaching staff needs to make sure that he's ready to go. It's a totally different dynamic. This was already weird, right? This was already just the most bizarre season that we've ever seen, because you've played about three quarters of your season, you shut it down for 4 months. Now you're going into a bubble where you're sequestered in this facility where you can't leave, where you're going to be playing in front of no fans. Add on to the fact when your players opted not to come. We understand why, but he's not there. Then add on to the fact that you've got another guy that's got injured. You got to reboot this whole thing. You've got 8 games to kind of tinker with what it is you got. And then you've got to hit the playoffs that start, you know, shortly thereafter. This is a coaching task that has never been asked of anybody ever. You know what I mean? This is a brand new thing, and every wrinkle you throw on top of it, replacing Avery Bradley, replacing Rajon Rondo, it gets more and more complex. There's never been more on any coach's plate, and now Vogel's got even more because he lost one of his important guys to an injury, just a random accident in practice.
Well, at this point, you have to know that there's used to be in an untraditional, non-traditional sort of setting because they were assembled in a non-traditional sort of way. So it was already right out the gate, Travis. You know, Frank Vogel and the coaching staff were doing something that really isn't normal. And they adjusted and they succeeded with doing it. I'm not worried about them because I'm not worried about the players. I'm not the players are just smart basketball players. Everybody knows what this is. There are no side stories like people are trying to, you know, secure stats because they're trying to get a bag. People are trying to wrestle for leadership of the team. You look at Utah, you mentioned Utah. There's still reports that Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell's relationship is still somewhat fractured after the coronavirus diagnosis that shut down the sports world. All those little bubbling moments of drama and conflict and personal agendas that might be different than the team agenda, that's not present in the locker room. And so I'm just not worried about how Frank Vogel and Lionel Hollins and Jason Kidd and Miles Simon and the entire staff, I'm not really worried about how they're going to handle this.
I get that, and I don't disagree with it, but the more you ask of somebody, the more chances there are that something goes wrong, and you're already asking a lot of him, and now it's just one thing on top of the next. All right, Washington is going to have a new name. They made the announcement this morning, so what happens next to that team name? That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. I didn't think it would take until 2020, and I also didn't think it would ever happen, if that makes any sense. But the NFL team in Washington, D.C. is going to have a new name. They issued a statement this morning, guys, that their previous name is gone. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing the retiring of the Redskins name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Wouldn't it have been easier to just say, yeah, we had no choice. We don't want to, but we're being forced to, so we're dumping it. At least it's more honest, if nothing else.
Well, you know, he's got to do it the way that he it fits suit for him and his fan base or the people that, you know, he's surrounded with. Clearly, we all know it's a money decision. How sincere he is with everything else, I don't know. But what I do know, it's a money decision because nothing got done until people start pushing back on being a part of his sponsorships, being a part of the naming rights of the stadium. You know, once that started to happen, it started to affect the bottom line. And when it starts to affect the bottom line, like I always tell you, Travis, the NFL owners don't care about nothing. When you start messing with their money, that's when action takes place. And before, you know, when he first bought the team and everybody wanted him to change the name then, nobody was threatening to do anything. It was just kind of like, hey, man, you need to change the name. They're going to pick it out in front of the stadium. That didn't do nothing. You know, that didn't do anything at all. But since the whole situation has changed, ever since the, you know, the death of George Floyd and everything from the protesting and just everything, people starting to open their eyes and get serious about this stuff. And to the point where one of his own partners, who's part owner of the team, said, yo, we not having this no more and I'm not supporting it no more. You better do something. And he realized, okay, I got about $700 billion worth of sponsorship people coming around and wanting to be a part of this team. And they're telling me, if I don't, this is what's going to happen. So let me act real swiftly and fast along with the other 31 owners who now see it as a potential threat on their bottom line.
Well, listen, I don't really care why he changed it. I just needed it changed. And I've spoken about it and I've written about it for years and years and years and years because it is absolutely appalling to have a racial slur not only just be used as a slogan, but a slogan in the nation's capital. It is like the most offensive, egregious, blatant disregard for morality and history that we pretended as if that was okay. Now that it's changing, I'm not going to pat him on his back. I'm not going to celebrate him. I certainly am not going to characterize this moment as, you know, him coming to Jesus. This is simply about the money, and it's fine. It's fine because every single moral thing that's done in this country doesn't have to be done for moral reasons. If you need it in order to get votes, fine. If you need it in order to get donors, fine. If you need it for personal reasons or what, fine. As long as you do the right thing, I can live with you doing the right thing for the wrong reasons.
You know what's interesting to me about it as well is that, and it said this in all of the releases, and it said this leading up to the release that came out earlier this morning, that Ron Rivera is going to be a part of the name selection going forward, that he's in on it with Dan Snyder, which really is weird to me because, look, we know that the head coach in the NFL is one of the most transitory jobs you're ever going to have. If you're there 5 years, you've done a pretty good job. If you've done 10 years, you're probably borderline Hall of Fame.
Travis, you know what this is.
What?
You know what this is. Who's involved?
Ron Rivera.
Okay. All right.
No, I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
We know what this is. He needs brother looking for some cover. So he's
I get that. But
Ron, what are you doing?
You want to bring him in and say, hey, Ron, we're going to name the team the Wildcats, and he can, hey, thumbs up, cool, I consulted on it. But he's not going to have any input, and quite frankly, he shouldn't. You know what I mean? That this is a team name that, that presumably is going to be there for a very, very long time. Somebody that isn't going to be there for a long time shouldn't have a ton of input on what it's going to be.
Well, he's Ron Rivera. Yeah, Daniel Snyder needs some cover. There's no question about it. But I believe that Ron Rivera is going to be consulted on it, and along with Doug Williams. And, you know, because he can't LZ do it without them, because guess what? When you do it without people in the room that it matter to, you turn out naming the team the Warriors. Then that'll backfire on you.
They've got to go 180 degrees in a different direction.
Yeah, but if you don't have a Ron Rivera and a Doug Williams in a room, and you just got everybody that look like you, y'all will mess around and call them the Warriors. That's what will happen. Seriously, think about it, though, Travis. When nobody's at the table that can push back, the first thing you start doing is listening to some 80-year-old dude with a mindset from the 50s.
Well, they've been listening to that person, because if they hadn't been listening to that person, perhaps the name change would have happened more.
That's
genuinely
my whole point. So he's going to be listening to these minority guys.
But we can't have it both ways. He can't. The only thing he listens to is the dollars, right? We just got done saying that.
That's true.
The only thing that he listens to is the money and who's going to either give it to him or not give it to him.
But
so to think that he's going to look at Doug Williams or Ron Rivera or anybody else and say, what do you guys think? He's going to do whatever he wants. And honestly, because he's not a racial slur, he should get to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he won't do it this time around, though, Travis, because he has to get them involved. Because the people that are in the room that are not them will give him the sign off on what he wants to do, which would probably be the wrong thing. So he's got to have somebody in the room to push back on and lean on to figure out what the right name should be. Because, again, if it's the Washington Warriors, then guess what? All you're doing is playing the switcheroo game. You kind of going light now.
They're going to pick the name that they think is going to sell the most T-shirts and caps. What are we talking about? They're going to try to find something. I know they're going to keep the colors, and they're going to try to find something that is relatively benign that they think will sell gear. Beyond that, they're not giving it any thought.
No, they're not. And that's fine. Listen, I don't really care. You know, as long as you said, Travis, as long as it's not another racial slur, I don't really care. The only thing that I care about,
Michael Hart,
at this day right now, is that the name is changed because it's offensive and it's a slur. We can open up their media guide, look at their leadership, and know what that is. I just did, by the way, and I know what that is.
You didn't need to do that. You didn't need to open. I already told you. You don't trust me now?
No. It's not. I don't trust you. I just wanted to make sure, it's my job just to make sure that I check all the crosses, all the T's, and dot all the I's.
Come on, man. So I ain't going to sell you short, though. I ain't going to set you up for failure.
I've just pulled it up, and we all know what that is, all right? And as I said, you don't need to do it for the right reasons. You don't, as long as you do it. As long as you do it, and it's important that we in the media don't try and mischaracterize this as some sort of redemption or
no.
Doing the right thing. Be careful. Listen, we do that all the time. We do that all the time.
No, no, he gets no redemption story because the only, you know, the money thing we talked about, but the only reason that the money started to get pinched is because the wind started blowing in a different direction. The George Floyd murder changed the way we talk about these things, changed the way that people are responding to these things. People that may have been uncomfortable voicing their outrage are now comfortable voicing their outrage and saying we're not going to do this. That he did not get there. That I was.
So when you start
2020, this has been a conversation since going back to the 1950s.
That is so true, but you also got to follow everything, right? Everything has a trickle-down effect to things. So just follow me here. You got LeBron James, who is paired with Nike, right? Lifetime guy. You got Michael George, who's paired with Nike. But what does Nike use to ship their stuff? FedEx. We talk. Hey, you got the big account. We use you. Big, all those synergies, right? They all connect the dots. Then FedEx is part of the stadium. The stadium is part of the naming rights. The naming rights, who put the naming rights, is a minority partner. Who's friends with Phil Knight? Who's friends with this billionaire who also runs the other company? So, oh, what do you use? We use PepsiCo. Okay, well, and all of them get together and say, you know what? Somebody needs to call Danny and let Danny know that we're not doing this anymore. Why? Because we can't do it and play both sides. We can't say we all in on Black Lives Matter and everything and just and all these sort of things and then look over here and act like Native Americans don't matter in these situations and let him just keep running with that. Okay. And they break it. That's how they break it all the way down. Danny.
So Danny
on the phone.
So Danny went to Scott Shepard, his SVP of corporate partnerships. And Danny says, Scott, I got a phone call. Can you run some numbers for me real quick? I just need to make sure, you know, how much room I have. How much? Yeah. Oh, none.
I know that we'll whitewash some history here and there, but this one does not feel like that's going to happen anytime soon. All right. The bubble is sealed in Orlando, and somebody's already got a knife out trying to jam some holes in it. We'll tell you who's going on or who's going in the bubble. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. It did not take long, fellas. It did not take long at all. The 3 days after players started to arrive in Orlando, at least according to Instagram model Anna Maya, if I'm saying that right, she claims that an NBA player has already invited her into the bubble. She posted on her social media, I already got invited into the bubble. Yeah, the season definitely ending early. We'll see, but this is exactly what LZ has been saying, what I've been saying, Key, that people will reach out, people will try to get in, and this is 3 days into what could be a three-month process.
I know they're going to try to get in the bubble, and I know people are going to reach out because they're bored and they communicate, but she ain't actually getting in the bubble.
Not yet.
Yes, she will.
You see, Raj, you just want to see her get in the bubble, but it's not.
You know.
I don't think so, because they ain't said it's too much security. Around.
But you told me you knew where to go with the security and where not to go.
But you got to get that done. But you got to get that done pre-arrival. That's already got to be done pre-arrival.
Very quickly, what's the quickest thing to get what you want? What's the quickest way to get something done?
Money.
To get it done. Money. Exactly right. And if I have lots of money, check the box of just about every NBA player, even the guys on minimums by regular people standards, have a ton of money. So if there's a guy that's guarding the back door and I say, hey, look, I got a few hundred bucks for you. If you just look the other way for 5 minutes, dude's going to look the other way for 5 minutes. It's going to happen.
I'm going to give you 10 minutes if the price is right.
It might happen. But LZ did a deep dive in his investigative reporting, as you can see. And he alerted me to take a look at some things. And she's just getting started in her quest to befriend NBA players based on some of the furniture in her apartment. Just tells me that she has not gotten quite the MVP level treatment.
I realize
yet.
That you guys are looking at the appointments inside of her apartment and you're unimpressed. I understand what you're saying.
Travis, look at the couch, baby. There's been too many heads resting and sleeping on the top of that couch. Gosh. It's wrinkled up like a piece of bacon. You can look at it and tell.
See, I looked at LZ had me go to the couch. I went up to the mirror. In the mirror, It don't. The mirror ain't right. Yeah, the mirror ain't right. That's one of the mirrors that you get from like a, you know,
Big Lots.
A yeah. place where you buy apartment furniture at. You know,
it's been 3 days. Okay, guy. I mean, it's been three.
Market World.
That at least one of these guys is climbing the walls 3 days in, and he's throwing lines at the
Home
DMs
Goods
already. We got a problem.
Well, but look, he's the wrong dude too, and she's the wrong one.
But she got a look. Ain't nothing wrong. No, look is cool.
Ain't nothing wrong with look. It's the mouth.
I'm worried about her
mouth because she's already posting it. No telling what she's going to do once she gets in. See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get the right one who knows how to shut the hell up.
Because she's young and she's a thirst trap. And she's trying to close a deal but not knowing how to close the deal because she's super excited that somebody actually, like you said, mentioned the bubble to her.
And see, that's why she got that couch. That's why she got that couch right there. Didn't get the right one.
Just like other sports, there are rookies and there are veterans, right? And it appears that this woman might be more on the rookie side of this. That to go public,
hold on.
3 days into this, right? She going public was probably a bad play on her part because a more experienced person in this sport may have just said, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody I'm getting invited to the bubble. I'm going in the damn bubble, and I'm going to go get what I need to get taken care of. So that she's talking doesn't mean that she's the only one. It means that it's already started. It means that this is already going down, and we haven't even gotten through the first week of being locked in.
Real talk, though, Travis. The real ones, they were in the bubble before the players got there.
You're probably right.
Well, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, they
all stars.
Yeah, they camouflaging as cooks and everything else. This particular young lady is a thirst trap, and she's young, she's talking, and she's putting it on social media for attention, and she'll get her followers up, her follow game will get up. This is why people do these sort of things for social media clout. Okay, she may never ever get on the plane to get to Orlando. It may never happen. But when it's over with, she will have put in enough work and time communicating. So when it's finally over and they back in LA or back in wherever city in which they need her to travel to, it'll all be put in play. That's how that go, you know.
The real ones, Travis. Like he said, they already assimilated and blended in. Like at NBA All-Star Weekend, the real ones aren't the ones coming with the little suitcases and the house shoes you see coming in into a hotel.
Yes,
I know, it's so funny, LC.
The real ones have already
at 5 o'clock
with their overhead bag. They pulling their overhead bag.
Yeah. No. The real ones have already got to the city like
nails
a week
done.
Ahead of time. Yeah, they've already been there, man. The rookies and you know the tier three ones. They're the ones you see rolling in on Thursday. But the real ones, they got there the Saturday to Friday beforehand.
Yeah. And the fact, like you said, though, the fact that she posted on social media having a conversation about it gets people talking about it. But it also gets her the notoriety because this will be the first person. I think she might be the first person that has actually put this out for people to talk about. We're talking about it on our show. People will now go and find her, click on their Instagram, her social media sites, see what she looks like. Now, I obviously did it because it's part of my research working here. I needed to see what she looked like. And look, quite frankly, she's an attractive looking young lady.
I'm going to say it real. She right.
Yeah, she's an attractive looking young lady. It looks like that she may have enhanced some things along the way from a purchasing standpoint. But
are you saying she doesn't do squats at the gym? That they came through another way.
Well, as I would say, when you are a full grown woman with a waist the size of my daughter London, in a butt the size of a pillow, go figure. I have a 10-year-old. I have a 10-year-old daughter with a small little bitty kid waist, and when I see a full grown woman with a kid waist in a back end the size of a pillow, you tell me. You tell me. If she's doing squats.
Guys, hold on. You tell me. Should I be offended or really pleased that I feel like both of you guys are explaining this to me? how this goes down. Like, I don't know whether I should be offended that you guys think that I'm that naive, or I should be complimented that you think I need the explanation. I'm kind of torn between the two, because all of these things all of these have been addressed. Travis, let me tell you about this. I'm the one that needs to be illuminated in this whole process.
I see you more as a pure soul who doesn't like to wade into those particular waters, whereas I got the gills for it. I was born in those waters.
And not only that, I've been around the block. What they trying to get done, I've already gotten done. So, you know, many times over, I've been in a position where they say, don't, and you do.
See, there you go. In a nutshell.
We lost Travis?
Did we lose Travis?
Guess we lost Travis.
So I guess Travis got. I guess Travis got in trouble for knowing what he knew when he wasn't supposed to know it.
All right, Key. Let's start with an NBA topic. With the loss of Rajon Rondo for between 6 to 8 weeks, the Lakers are still the favorites to win the NBA championship. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
They have depth.
As long as you got the depth, and you got LeBron, and you got AD. And you got them in the fourth quarter with Dwight Howard. I think that the Lakers are still going to take it the way they need to.
It feels a lot closer than it did a day ago, though, for me, guys. I mean, it just seemed to me that the Lakers were on everything we've talked about. Everything that was going their way could have gone their way, and that everything was kind of breaking to think, you know, this is going to happen. And now here's just another variable that says, yeah, well, not so fast, my friend, because this is an important piece of what they're doing. And there's a decent chance that they're not going to have them at all.
I'd be shocked, though. I'd be shocked if the Lakers can't get out of the second round and wait for Rondo to come back. That would be a shock.
I'm not really. Having Rondo makes things easier, no doubt about it. But I really have faith in Caruso, man. I really do. When he's gotten more minutes, he's been more productive, not less productive. So I think he comes off the bench as that guy. KCP starts. He's that sixth man that comes off the bench, kind of helps make sure the offense stays running.
All right, let's go to the next one here. We saw that the National Junior College Athletic Association is moving all of their sports to the spring, football included. Key, the NCAA will follow suit. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it all around.
They're not necessarily going to follow suit. I know what you mean by that, but what's going to happen is they're going to probably try and get themselves to align with the NFL and wind up going in a different direction, so to speak, the spring. So it will kind of follow suit, but they're not taking their cue from the junior college ranks. They're going to take their cues basically from the conferences as well as the NFL. I was with somebody over the weekend who has a lot of influence in a couple major universities, and we were having a conversation at dinner about the possibility of playing college football, and he absolutely said to me, it's not going to happen. And he said, it's just not going to happen. And I believe him because I know what juice and power he has with these universities, and he's on the know. His ears is to the ground. And so when he said that to me, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. Because he talked about the same things we've been talking about, liability, insurance, things of that nature.
But I hear what you're saying, and maybe it's splitting hairs here, but if everybody starts to move and you are the last one to go, you can't tell me it's because the conferences are doing it. It's because everyone else is. You can't be the one guy to go when everyone else isn't going. Everybody that makes this decision makes it more and more likely that they have to follow suit.
Well, if the conferences, the big conferences are the one that's running the NC2A for the most part. The SECs, the Pac-12s, the Big Tens, all the ACCs, those are the money generators. And so when they make a decision to play, they're going to make a decision collectively because they got to play against somebody, right? They can't play against themselves.
Sure.
So
sure.
They're going to make a collective decision on what to do. But they're not going to make this decision on the spring until they get some sort of understanding from the NFL if the NFL will be willing to push their spring dates back so that they can get the spring games in and NFL can still evaluate guys. If it happens, that's the way it's going to go.
All right. Let's go back to the Lakers here. Let's take a listen to Anthony Davis explain why he is choosing not to put one of these social justice messages on his Laker jersey. Yeah, AD on why he's not wearing anything on his jersey.
That would be you, Jorge.
Our chemistry again. You know, we had a couple months off, and you know, we're on a great roll. Getting you know, Deion and JR adjusted to our system and to our team, and building that chemistry now that we have. Excuse me, we don't have guys here. So just trying to rebuild our system, rebuild our chemistry again, and getting ready for our first, not only our first game, but our first scrimmage against Dallas. Just trying to, you know, get back into the swing of things. So by the time the first game comes, you know, we're already in a great groove.
All right. He also went on to say that he was kind of torn between putting a social message on his jersey and then having his own name, because he talks about having his name on his jersey. He tries to go out there and represent his own name the best that he can. Keyshawn, AD, you were surprised
you just
by
said
AD
my
LeBron.
Whole name.
I'm trying to reset my own brain here. Keyshawn, the AD and LeBron not putting a social justice message on their jersey surprises you. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Wow. The reason it surprised me, because I never thought that they would do anything different, but I understand after hearing LeBron and hearing AD, I understand why they did what they did, why they made the decision, because they were not involved. They obviously wanted – there's 30 messages that was, you know, given to them by the league, and clearly those messages didn't – you know, they probably heard them enough already that they kind of like – said, you know what, I wanted to do something special on my own. If I'm not going to do it special on my own, then forget it. I'll just play with my name on the back, because it doesn't take away from what they're doing and the mission that they're trying to accomplish. It takes nothing away from that. They still got the large platform. They still able to speak post and pregame. The court will have Black Lives Matter on it. Other players will have Black Lives Matter and other messages on their jerseys. But the key thing of all of it is it takes away nothing from what they're trying to get accomplished. Nothing at all. And I'm talking about accomplished off the basketball court and in the streets that we're in.
Yeah, I was surprised, but I really don't care enough. Because messaging, you know, on your jersey or on the streets of New York or whatever city you're in or on the basketball courts, that's just to keep the message front and forward. But if your sleeves are rolled up and you're doing the actual work, once you get past the, you know, trying to bring attention to something, once you start getting involved in the work, that's what I really focus in on. So at the end of the day, I don't really care.
Very quickly here, with that in mind, before we move on to another NFL one, Key, the NBA would like a do-over to let guys choose their own message, take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Oh, yeah. You know,
a lot of guys have said they would have done it had they gotten to choose their own thing.
Yeah, but now doing that do-over makes the NBA look, you know, like they didn't do it the right way. So,
well, they didn't. They can fix it. They didn't. They can fix it. Now
they got a little time.
But you know how it is. They done already put it out there the way that they put it out there. Now they don't want to get essentially bullied into doing it the player's way.
Yeah, but the NBA is the one league that would be – it would not be out of character for them to say, you know, we listen to our players and we decide we're going to let them make a choice.
They could do it that way.
They could do it that way.
And they might. They very well could.
All right, let's go to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes was playing in the celebrity golf event up in Tahoe, and he says he wants to win at least 6 Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes will catch Tom Brady. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
Yeah,
that
just doesn't happen. I mean, Tom Brady is – you know, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the fact that they started together and Belichick was younger, Andy Reid and Bill Belichick the same damn age now. So you're not going to be able to run that course like that with Andy Reid. I mean, obviously, if Eric Bieniemy takes over a head coach in a year or two, when you win one or two more, maybe you can run it with him. But 6 is a lot. You got 5 more to go, man. And, you know, That's tough.
So what's the over-under? Fast forward 15 years. He's done playing football. How many does he have?
3.
Not bad.
That's pretty good. That's not Troy Aikman.
So he already got, 3. But he said 6. So
yeah.
3, you know, 3. I say he has 3. By the time he ends his career, he'll have 3.
How many is he playing?
5.
Yeah. And by the way, 5 over the next, you know, so I guess 4 more over the next 10 years or so. That's more or less every other season, which is more or less what Tom Brady has done.
That's pretty good.
It's damn good. It is absolutely damn good. One more here. With all the news about all these, this guy and that guy, professional athletes' COVID tests should remain private. Take it or shake it.
I mean, I shake it.
Okay. You know, I want to know. I want to know.
I mean, I don't. What I mean, I know HIPAA laws and things of that nature, but what, whether they say it or don't say it, what's the? I mean, what? Why wouldn't you want people to know? Like, are you embarrassed about it? Like,
I'm not embarrassed, but it's my medical conditions. It's my health. It's my business. If I want to tell, that's no problem. But the team, the league, should not be the ones to put it out there.
I mean, I guess I really don't care. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, I don't really care. If you tell me, you tell me. If you don't, you don't. I mean, that's how I look at it from a public standpoint. I'm not in your business like that.
But we were trying to figure out why Kenley wasn't at practice or wasn't at training. And we spent weeks and weeks trying to figure out what was wrong when a simple he tested positive for COVID could have just stopped all the rumor mills.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I really, at the end of the day, Travis, I really don't care. I mean, right? If you say, well, guy tested positive, okay. Guy didn't test positive, okay. The guy's not telling us what it is, okay. I'm not that deeply into other people's mess and business like that. I'm not nosy like that. I worry about my own house from burning down. Where on LZ's side, he really trying to find out.
Well, there is an infectious disease component to this, too.
Well, I'm a fire truck, Travis, so I need to find out where the fire is.
All right. The Lakers have to figure out what they're going to do without Rajon Rondo. How much does LeBron have to pick up? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.